Hear me now? Are we all right? Good. All right. This idea today, the title of this message is The Influence of a Parent. The Influence of a Parent. This past summer, while I was actually praying about what God would have for us as a family to do, whether it's to start a church there in Orlando or to come here and to be your pastor, my dad and I, we went fishing one day. And as we were sitting there doing what we normally do when we go fishing, catching nothing but an attitude, I started kind of reminiscing, thinking that, you know what, I might be leaving for a while and wasn't going to be able to see my dad. And my dad and I have a very close relationship. And anyways, I'm kind of a sentimental guy. And I started talking to my dad about kind of some of the memories that I kind of treasured when I was younger. And I remember I said, "Dad, do you remember this occasion?" He said, "Yes." And we would talk about that. And I said, "You remember that time?" And it would bring up a memory for him. And we would talk about that. And I said, "Dad, did you know at the time how much those events and how much those talks meant to me?" And I really was kind of surprised, taken back. And my dad says, "No, son, I really didn't. At the time, you just thought you were just doing life. You really didn't understand the influence that I was having." As I thought about that, and even in my own life as a dad now, one thing I wonder, do parents really ever know the magnitude of their influence? Do parents really grasp ever how wide and how deep and how far-reaching the influence of a parent is? Now, I've been a pastor now for 8 years, and here's something I've learned through these years. All the people that I've pastored, many parents included, I've never met a parent who set out to be a bad parent. Now, I've seen bad parents. I've just never seen a parent who wanted to be a bad parent. I've never met a person who said, "You know what? I'd like to mess up the life of my child." I've never met an individual like that. I've never met an individual who said, "You know what? I like to make some wrong decisions, and I would like to create a pattern of wrong decision-making so that my kids are forever affected and have to go to counseling one day." I've never met an individual like that. I don't care whether you know God or you don't know God. I don't even care if you don't buy into the whole Jesus thing. Here's one thing I've never seen. I've never seen a parent set out being a parent wanting to fail. I believe it's in the heart of every parent to want to succeed. You might have missed it with your own life, but you want to make up for it with the life that God entrusted to you or the lives God has entrusted to you. We all want to be good parents. And yet, saying all that, if there's one area in our lives that has dogged us, if there's one area in our lives that we would love to go back and redo some things that we've done wrong, it would be in the area probably of parenthood. We'd love to go back to that conversation where we made that remark where we shouldn't have made it. We'd love to go back to that point in time where we made that wrong decision, where we could erase that and do it again and maybe save some heartache for the people that we love the most. Parenthood is not for the faint of heart. It is hard. And there's something that is so dear to the heart of a parent. And that is that relationship with that son or that daughter. My wife, she described when we had Emma to a friend of hers, and I've never forgotten, and I thought maybe she stole it from a book, but I really think it just came to her. She said, "Being a parent is like having your heart living outside of your chest for the rest of your life." Does anybody relate to that? It's like your heart's living outside of your chest. You're just exposed. You're vulnerable. You're experiencing emotions like you've never felt before. Parenthood, it is one of the greatest blessings in life, and yet we would all say it's one of the hardest challenges in life. Parenthood will humble you. It can make you the proudest in one moment, and it can humble you to the depth of the next. There's joys and there's sorrows. Sometimes it can be bittersweet. Just the idea of being a parent, everyone wants to be a good one. And though I'm talking to many people this morning, your children are long and gone. They have their own families, and yet you are still called mom and dad. And maybe you look back on your past and you wonder if things could have been different. How you could have done some things differently. You could have spoken differently. You could have made some more time. You could have taken some more initiative. You could have been a little more intentional. And if you would have, what difference would that have made? And you ponder those thoughts. And sometimes you wrestle with those dreams. You're not weird. You're no different than the rest. My mom, she's about 53, I believe now. My mom today, she will still ask me the question from time to time. She goes, "Matt, do you have any regrets from your childhood?" You know what my mom's really wanting to know?
Matt, do you think your dad and your mom failed in any way? See, my mom, she was a working mom outside the home, and so she always carried around this guilt that she was not at home like some of the other mothers were, and this has always haunted her. And so she asked me from time to time, Matt, do you ever regret me working as a nurse, that I wasn't there for you when you got home, that you were one of those latchkey kids? Do you ever regret that? Do you feel like you've missed out? And they always kind of puzzled me. I'm thinking, Mom, I'm a grown man now. You're 53 years old. Why is that still bugging you? But I'm telling you the reason why it still bugs her is because when you're a parent, you're always a parent. And those children, no matter how old they get, they're always your children. And you want the best for them. And you in no way do you want to be a part of anything negative in their life. As a matter of fact, you will do everything you can to shield them from negative. And consequences, you want the best because you love them. And maybe you never thought you could love something or someone so much, but you found out when you had your child, when you experienced your children and the relationship that you had with them. And yet, here's our problem. Our problem is we want the best, but sometimes we don't know how to give the best. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you know the best to have to offer your children is a faith journey. You know that's the best that you have to offer them. You know under God you're responsible for your children's spiritual growth and development. And as much as we try to find the help from other places and other people, we understand that burden lies solely on our shoulders. And I'm telling you, it is overwhelming. You've been there. I am there. It's overwhelming to think of that responsibility, that my children, they are going to see God based upon what they see in me and what they hear from me. And they will either believe right or they will believe wrong. They will either see the importance or they will see the lack of importance. They will grow one day to have a relationship that may look very similar to my own relationship with Jesus. And so they're watching. And I'm overwhelmed. So how do you pass on your faith? How do you teach truth to your kids? These people that are so precious to you, these little ones that are God's precious gifts to you, how do you pass on to them the greatest treasure you have so that ultimately they grow up to have life to the full, but even beyond that, they get to go to heaven and you never have to spend eternity without them? How do you do that? Well, because we don't know, we do the best we can. The Bible's pretty clear in what we are to do, Mom and Dad. The Bible says over there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says concerning fathers, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but instead nurture them, grow them up, build them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. A very similar verse over there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. The Bible says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, which means the same thing. Don't provoke your children. Dads, we can do that. We can do that so easily, and we can be so even unaware that we're even doing it. Colossians 3:21 says, don't do that. Don't exasperate your children so that they would lose heart. I'm telling you what, there's a lot of kids today walking around faint-hearted, and it's because of a lack of relationship they have with dad. And the lack of nurture and the lack of discipline that mom and dad give them in the home. And there are many boys that have grown up to be men, and there are many girls who have grown up to be women, and they have their own families today, and yet they parent with lacking heart, and it goes back to a family and a home environment where they were not nurtured, they were not taught, and the faith and tradition, the values, and a relationship with God were not passed on. And so you cannot give what you do not have. And you cannot take someone where you have not been. And so a generation that missed it, they're now parents. And again, they cannot give what they do not have. So let's talk about that this morning. Let's talk about how we can do better. Let's talk about this huge responsibility. Let's talk about this momentous task of parenting and how it's to be done, how we can pass on our faith to our kids. Well, let me tell you, one, how this is not done. One, this is not done by chance. Here's a common expression from a boomer generation. I'm going to let my own kids make up their mind. I'm not going to force them to go to church. I'm not going to force my values on them. I'm not going to force
my beliefs on them. I'm going to let them make up their own minds. Look at me. Look at me. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? You wouldn't do that in any other area of life. Why would you take the most significant part of their life, their faith experience, whether they either enter into it or not, why would you leave that up to chance? Mom and Dad, do not abdicate your leadership. That is your responsibility under God. But the question might be, maybe the reason you do not give it, and maybe the reason why you leave it up to chance is because you are not very certain that you have something to give anyways. And if that be the case, then that's another discussion. And that's another conversation that needs to take place at another time. This is not done by chance. It's not reserved only for Sundays. If in your Bibles here in Deuteronomy, verse 19 of chapter 11, it says, "You shall teach them to your sons," talking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you rise up. Sad to say, even for Christian families, the only time truth is brought up, the only time Jesus is discussed is on Sundays. And oftentimes it's not done with mom or dad, it's done with a Sunday school teacher. It's done with another caregiver. When is there ever a time where mom and dad interact, communicate with their children on a heart-to-heart basis about truth, about who Jesus is, and what is the relevance of the Bible in their lives? Even for good, God-fearing, Bible-belt families, oftentimes the only time faith is discussed or the subject is raised on Sundays. And I'm telling you what, that is not the way to parent. That is not the way to raise your children. God said to Moses, you're to do it every day, and you're to be diligent at it. It's not supposed to be a set period of time. It is supposed to be as you go throughout your day. It is supposed to be a natural interaction with your children. And if that is the standard, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, we fall, and I fall short. It's not by chance. It's not reserved for Sundays. And I'm telling you what, it is not to be farmed out. You hear me? Raising your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, passing on faith, teaching your kids truth. It is not the church's responsibility. It can't be farmed out to a surrogate parent. Because, see, the church, as good as she is and as influential as she is, she only has so much influence. She only has so much time with your kids. You have an overwhelming amount of time with your kids in comparison. And I know it. Your struggle is the same as my struggle. Okay, I got all those hours, but what do I do with them? What do I do with all those hours? What do I do with all that time that God's entrusted to me? How do I talk to my kids about faith? How do I engage them without coming across as boring? How do I capture their hearts with what I believe is the most important thing in life? How do I do that? Well, everybody's got a standard. Everybody's got something they're striving for. Here's the ideal. Maybe you grew up in a home with a very godly mom, a very godly dad, and maybe they interacted with you. Maybe they confronted you with truth, and maybe they had you talk about that truth, and they tried to make truth relevant to your daily life. And you say, you know, that's my standard. I'm just telling you what, if you have that type of experience, if you have that type of background, you need to rise up and call your mom and dad blessed because you had something great. If you didn't, you're not weird. You're not really different. Because what I just described to you is the exception and not the rule. Here's where many dads, especially in our churches, they go wrong. They have this idea of what a godly parent ought to be. And is this some type of phantom spiritual leader in the home that they never can attain to? You know, the guy who rises up, has his quiet time at 4 o'clock while the rest of the world sleeps. He's there standing between the two, calling down heaven on behalf of his kids, calling down heaven on behalf of his spouse, calling down heaven on behalf of the witnessing endeavors he's going to have that day for his church, its leaders, his community, and all the missionaries around the world. And then when you get up, you lead your family in quiet devotion before school because, again, you wake up on time. Life is not hectic. Nobody's homework is undone. Everybody is set and ready to go, and you have extra time in the morning because you've been a spiritual leader and you're able to take your family to the throne of God.
And then when you get home, you're able to deprogram your children from all that they learn throughout the day. And you're able to talk to them about what they learned, and then you take what they learned, and you, through that afternoon or at dinner time, you talk them through what the Bible says about those things, and you help them to determine what they're going to believe based upon truth, not just upon what they've heard. And then that night, you have a follow-up devotion. And you take your kids to the throne of God, and there, your kids, they're so spiritual. They pray in their own language, maybe. You go to bed. You rest your head on your pillow that night. And you thank God for allowing you to be a spiritual leader. I'm just telling you what, that person I've never met. But that type of person lives in the minds of many Christian dads. And because of that, freedom is robbed, joy is stolen, and frustration and failure is what many fathers, even those who love Jesus, live in. This idea of a phantom Christian, this idea of a superhero spiritual leader in the home, that's just not reality. That's just not life. And if that's your standard, I just want to welcome you to frustration for the rest of your life. You got to change that. Some of your churches in our area, they have different slogans about what they want their people to be. Here's one. One church says, "We want our people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ." What a freedom robber. Fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you when that's going to happen. Heaven. You don't have to wait until heaven to get to that place. Fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. I don't think my wife has ever used the words fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ and my name in the same sentence. And here I am. I want to please God. I want to be a spiritual leader in my home. But I fall short. If the standard is that phantom Christian I just described to you, if the standard is having a daily quiet time with my family, with my kids, helping them grapple with the truths of Scripture and having a Bible study every day, chalk me up. Failure. And here's what it is. In my life and in many of your other brothers' lives, as spiritual dads, because you feel like a failure, you throw in the towel. Because you don't know what to do or how to do it, you don't do anything. And time is ticking. And the years are going by. And influence is wasted. So what's a spiritual leader look like, Mom? What's a spiritual leader look like in the home? Here it is. I'll make this really simple to you and hopefully encouraging. It is one step, one day, one moment in time, teaching one truth in one teachable moment. That's it. Whatever the next step is. You say, what is the next step for me? I don't know. But it's taking that next step, whatever that might be. It's teaching that one truth, whatever that truth might be. It's taking the initiative of a teachable moment, whatever that teachable moment might be, and exhausting it. For what it's worth. I calculated it up this morning. I was thinking about this, and my heart just kept breaking. Emma's 5.5 years old. 18, she's going to do like most kids, and God willing, she's going to go off to college. So I started thinking about, how much time do I have in between now and then? Here it is. Then I started thinking about this. I got 650 some odd weekends left with my daughter. I got 650 weekends left with Emma. Got a little bit more with Noah. But after 650 weekends go by, Emma's going to be gone. I'm still going to be her dad. But I'm not going to have the influence like I have now. I'm not going to have those times back as though I treat as though I will. So what's the church's responsibility? It's not our job to raise your children, but what is the job of the church? I believe it's to come alongside you, mom and dad, to help you be successful. And I think about what I'm about to share with you, I think it's going to resonate with everybody's heart. Because again, there's not a single parent in here that wants to be a failure. And there's not a single parent who raised their children for them to grow up one day and look upon you as a failure. We all want to be a success at this, and yet this is an area we all struggle in. Passing on our faith, passing on our truth, passing on God's word to our kids so they take it as their own. I shared this with you the first time I was here at nighttime. And I used the analogy of some gumballs. These gumballs represent hours, and this jar right here is 40. 40 gumballs representing 40 hours. This, by most standards, this is all the church has with your kids. The average child, we're going to get 40 times during a year. 40. That's it. Because every child's going to get sick every now and then. Every child's going to go on vacation every now and then. Sad to say, many children are split between homes. And so as far as the ministry of First Baptist Church, we've got about 40 hours. Now listen, we want to make these 40 hours the best they can be. We want it to be the most engaging time. We want to do all that we can to help you, Mom and Dad, with the 40 hours that we've got. But please understand, even the best job, even at 100% optimum efficiency and effectiveness, all we have is 40 hours. That's it. If you have a third grader this year, where the church has 40 hours, he will spend 400 hours studying math. The church has 40. He will spend 800 hours, if he's the average kid, playing a video game. The church has 40. He will spend 1,800 hours watching TV. The church has 40. Pray tell me, what hope does the church have at raising up spiritual giants if all we have to work with is 40 hours when everything else has their attention and gains their influence? You say, well, that sounds like a no-win situation. It would be if I stopped there. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Church has 40 hours. Mom and Dad, you got 2,500 hours. From the time they come home to school every day to the time they go to bed and the time that you have on the weekends, you have 2,500 hours every year to influence your kids for God, good, and glory. Let me repeat that because I need to make a couple more trips. 2,500 hours Mom and Dad has to influence their children and to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The church, we got this many. Mom and Dad, you got that. Who do you think is going to be more influential in raising their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? The church and the best it can do, or the influence of Mom and Dad and the best they have to offer? Anybody want to argue that? Of course not. I believe it's the church's responsibility to take the 40 hours that we have, use it for everything we can to exhaust our effectiveness, not just in reaching your kids, but helping you, Mom and Dad, to learn how to leverage all of this for the sake of connecting with your children, influencing them for Christ, and passing on biblical truth into their lives so that they possess it as their own, not just Mom and Dad's. What would it look like to be a part of a church where a parent said, if you're a part of that church, they're going to come alongside you and they're going to help you with what you want to be successful at the most? And that's raising your kids and passing on to them which is precious to you. Well, what would that look like? Let me tell you what, it looks far different than the way most churches operate. Most churches operate this way. Here it is. Most churches operate where they believe the mindset, what takes place here is more important than what takes place in the home. Let me just tell you, that's a lie. What takes place in the home is much more important than what takes place at church. Mark that down. Churches, you see, by the way they program things, it competes with the family. It doesn't complement the family. We divide the family. We have children over here. We have youth over here. We have adults over here. We have grandparents over here. And oftentimes, they never mix. And so what Emma's going to learn about today in Sunday school, Daddy's probably not going to have a clue. Because that's her world. This is my world. And the two, they don't mix. What would it look like if they did? See, children do come in here at church. We have kids that come in here at church. But just please know, this is an adult worship service. We do adult worship in here. We bring our kids in here and we hope that just by some chance they might pick up something. And we're kind of excited when they do. You know, somebody will say, you know what, my son, he listens to you. Hey, this, please, he might listen to me like a minute, but I've lost him the other 30. You say 30, you wish. I lost him the other minutes. See, let me tell you what adult worship does to our kids. It teaches them to check out. It teaches them to suck on a piece of candy. It teaches them to draw. How long will it take for this Jolly Rancher to melt in my mouth without me sucking on it with my tongue? I'm timing it. This is not for them. What would it look like if we created an environment where families worship together, but instead of being done on an adult level, it was done on a kid's level? See, the adults are supposed to be the flexible ones, correct? Aren't we? Aren't we supposed to be the flexible ones? Yeah, we're supposed to be. What if we went into their world? What if we went into their environment? What if the church created a shared experience whereby both junior and sis, mom and dad, maybe even grandparent or great-grandparent, what if you were 6 or 66? What if there was an environment the church created where everybody was engaged, everybody enjoyed, and that environment was not just 40 hours thinking this was going to ruin the day, this was going to save the day, but we were taking our influence, 40 hours as it is, and we were helping mom and dad to learn how they can capitalize on all of their influence throughout the week so that what is done on Sunday is not forgotten, but actually becomes a reference point throughout the week that mom and dad could say, remember when this happened? Remember when that was said? And because it's so vivid, because it was so engaging, and because it was fun. Yes, I said it. Fun. Truth became relevant, and the memory of church becomes exciting. I want you to look up here real quick. I'm going to show you a little clip from a type of ministry that's done at a church called North Point, called Kids Stuff. I'd like you to hear their story as we close today. And I'd like us to look at what they do here. Look up to the screen. If the lights would go down, please.
You know when your kid says, remember when we... What do they talk about? Picnics, walks, vacations, ball games? What do all those things have in common? You shared the experience together. You shared an experience, and some of those experiences have the power to shape the way your child sees the world. Why not join in an experience that's designed to help shape the way your child sees faith? Our church provides an incredible environment that's designed to help parents get involved with their kids' spiritual lives.
Kids Stuff is where kids take their parents to learn. It's a place for families with elementary age kids to learn together, but we can only do this if you guys come to this environment on a regular basis as a whole family. We have this sign out front that says no drop-offs. I mean, we don't want to be a place where kids are corralled for an hour and then handed back to their parents. Here's your kid. We shined him up and got him ready for the week. No organization can be a substitute for a parent. And I know that parents are always looking for those teachable moments where their kids can learn about God, but the problem is, you never know when those moments are going to happen. And Kids Stuff reminds me of one of those candles you can never blow out. That weekly shared experience is like a spark that relights, and it keeps relighting with each of those teachable moments.
We are glad you are here at Kids Stuff.
So this is the clubhouse you've been telling me about?
Yes, this is where the kids come to learn about the virtues.
It's easy for us to agree that we need a shared experience for families to learn about spiritual things. There are a lot of great adult worship services out there, but they're not great for kids because it teaches them to check out, to draw on a bulletin, or to eat a piece of candy. But Kid Stuff reverses that. It puts parents, who are supposed to be the flexible ones, in a kid's world so that they can learn to worship together.
Okay, so how do you do it? How do you keep a third grader's attention without boring mom and dad to tears? Well, the experts seem to do it a lot of the time. As a matter of fact, sometimes around here we call it our Disney approach. And I think that's because a number of years ago we were in the Lion King movie and we watched as 6-year-olds and 66-year-olds all were totally absorbed, all just loved it, a lot of times for different reasons, but it was amazing. So what we try to do is the same thing. We put in front of them professional actors, singers, dancers, lots of movement, sketches, humor, comedy and humor that actually reaches both the youngest and the oldest, and you've got all these kids sitting on the floor together right in front of the stage with their friends. Behind them are the parents sitting in chairs. And so for 45 minutes, you've got this sight and sound experience that teaches spiritual truths. Now, when everybody leaves after that 45 minutes, they leave the building, but they never leave the experience behind.
All right, are you ready to rock and roll?
Hi, gang, and welcome to Kid Stuff Shopping Network.
You know, maybe I could be nice to people I barely even know.
What are we talking
about?
We're
going to talk about the discipline of prayer today.
I mean, you're talking to God. I mean, he's like the biggest superhero of them all.
You're being very rude if you want to know the truth of the matter.
Kid Stuff is for kids and parents, because what we start talking about today, we want you to keep talking about all week long.
When you are a parent, it is apparent. Thought that was clever.
Is it just me, or is that really cheesy?
I'd say it's the parents feel almost as much a part of it as the kids do.
My kids love it. It makes church so not boring for them, and they can't wait to come every Sunday.
They can have a positive thing about church when they come into Kids Stuff because they're having a good time.
My kids love to come to church. I mean, this morning we were all sleeping late, and they're like, we have to get up and go to church.
My kids are excited to come here. They're excited to learn about what the Bible says, and they're excited to put it into practice at home.
Kids Stuff is great. The energy, the theme, we get to talk about it at home.
We love what it does for us at home.
I can remind my son of things that he's seen in Kids Stuff, and then it makes more sense to him.
And they bring the message home during the week. They really get it.
I can always refer back to the fact that they've said it here at Kids Stuff. Reggie said it. Lanny said it. We talked about it. And, yeah, it's reinforcement all week.
And we look forward to coming back every Sunday.
Kids Stuff is virtue-driven. We focus on a specific virtue each month to find out what God has to say about it. It might be honesty or resourcefulness or hope. And it's a way that we help our kids build uncommon sense to make wise choices.
We hear from parents all the time about how families' lives are changing because of what they experience at Kids Stuff every week.
More than one family has told me about their kids refusing to go anywhere else on a Sunday morning because of Kids Stuff.
The only way to really get parents on the same page is to get them in the same room.
Kids Stuff stands for virtues and good common sense. Kids Stuff is about kids, for kids and parents.
Kids Stuff has original music.
And to this idea of family worship, I hope kind of gripped your imagination a little bit, made you kind of think, man, what would that be like to have a ministry like that? What a benefit it would be to our parents here. But I'm telling you what, it's not just to the parents here, to the parents of this community, because this is an environment that would be so engaging, so relevant, so fun, that kids would bring their parents to church. Gone would be the days of parents bringing their kids to church. Kids would so be attracted, engaged by such an environment, they would actually be evangelists to their parents. What a concept. You'll be hearing about this more in the days to come. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this morning.